Okay. Here we go. And a one. And a two. And welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 238. Spotlight on. Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? Spotlight on Vertigo Comics. Why the Last Man? Circa 2002. Number one. Is that the right
14
one?
14 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it? I know, I vaguely know the premise of this. I looked at a couple, first couple issues, but I have never read this. So this should be interesting.
You've never read it? Ooh, you should read them all, except for the ending. Don't read the ending.
Oh my god, yeah, skip the last issue.
Okay. Now, is that the first round, or?
There's only one round.
Oh, when I was looking this up on ComicBookDB, they had it listed, hold on a second, I'm backing up. There was a 2002. Oh, this is a different company's. Never mind. Scratch that.
Okay.
Somebody else.
Confused one, by the way. That's Chris Mosby. He's the confused one.
Yes, we've had technical issues already. Skype's telling me that things are crappy, but they're not. And when it wasn't crappy, it didn't say anything. And I'm trying to ignore this flashy box. And I'm not a flashy box ignoring type person. But anyway, I'm Chris Mosby, so.
flashy box.
Yes, ooh. It's flashing in my face. It's ignore it. I'm going to ignore it. Go ahead. So, go ahead, continue.
Those are just two technical terms for me. I'm sorry. I'm Caleb Gerard, by the way.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Oh, well, there's something I didn't know. Heidi McDonald was an editor on this.
Yes, really? She was.
Yep.
Yep. She was the editor.
Be damned.
Heidi McDonald of what is that site that she has? I'm blanking on that.
The Beat. The Beat.
Yeah, the beat goes on.
Beat snapping like a beatnik.
Yes. Beat Brian K. Vaughan, though, I've followed his work some. Did a lot of stuff.
I admit,
Flash.
This is one of those books that I came in a few issues after it started. I think it was an issue 4 or 5 by the time when I jumped on. Same with Fables. Actually jumped on a couple months into its run. I had moved away from Vertigo after Sandman ended, and I was like,
that's another
Vertigo
book I need to pick up. I've got the first 4 trades, but I've only read the first one, and then they started putting out those deluxe edition hardcovers. I've been thinking about just getting those.
Mm-hmm. They're worth a read too. That's true. I forgot Fables came out around the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fables and Y were kind of the Vertigo attempting to save itself from the post Sandman era.
I do believe they worked on a TV show for this Why the Last Man, didn't they?
I think it was optioned for a movie, and it never went anywhere.
Yeah, that usually is 9 times out of 10. I think that's what happens.
I think it would make a better TV show, so that's probably, if it ever goes that route, that would be good.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it'll depend on how Preacher does. If Preacher does well, then my guess is a lot of these Vertigo's books will find their way along. Mm-hmm. You know, Why the Last Man, Fables, maybe we'll see a Sandman book. I mean, and also if American Gods takes off at HBO, that'll also be a
tell us whether they're doing that, aren't they?
That'll tell us whether Gaiman stuff has got legs or not.
Interesting.
Though Gaiman wrote a couple of Doctor Who's, I think. So
did he?
Huh. At least one. At least one that I can know. I know for certain.
Yeah, it's funny. I just about decided to start watching that again, and then I find out it's ending again.
Well, just not for another 2 years.
Well, no, they left. That Stephen Moffat guy left.
But. He's still got one more season to go, and they're not showing that until next year.
Well, I'm still in the Matt Smith era.
Well, there you go. You just keep on keeping on, and by the time you get to when it's ending, it'll actually be ending.
Yeah, that's true. So.
Or they will have decided that they will figure out how to keep it going for another 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, they've got a new showrunner. They'll have a new doctor. It'll keep going.
Yeah, I'm sure it will.
We're not done with this season yet. We're still inching our way through the current. Anyhow, sorry, I totally dragged us off topic. Apologies.
Well, that's fine. That happens all the time around here, though, doesn't it?
I think I jumped onto Y around the second or third issue too, because I'm holding in my hand. Vertigo was putting out like they put out like little double features to get you all caught up. So I've got like issue one and two of Y squished together in one comic, and I think I've got issue one and two of Fables squished together in one comic.
Seems like I've seen those.
Yeah, it was a good. I was going to say it was a good cheap way to get yourself caught up, but it was not cheap. It was. It was two issues for the price of two issues, just in one cover.
It saved space, but nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it was a good way of getting the two issues out there, right? Because they were hard to find at the time, so they just packaged them together and squished them out, and $10 later, there it was in my hand.
$10 Canadian, by the way.
$10 Canadian, $6 American.
Well, I don't know if that's that way right now. Your money might be worth more.
Oh, I don't think so. Well,
it's going to have Trump on it soon, so.
Yeah. I mean, the store I was shopping at the time, the Comics Factory in Pasadena, was they were very cool. They actually pushed people to pick up these books, so they would, you know, they had over-ordered on the first couple issues of these series, and maybe that's why they're pushing them. They wanted, you know, so, but they had a money back guarantee on them. They said, if you don't like it, you know, bring it back. We'll let you get something else in the store.
I remember going through that with one of the places I went to, and it seems like they always worked out pretty good.
Yeah. And these were two series that I followed all the way through till the end.
I'm glad they did. They did an absolute edition of it too. Did not know that.
Of course. Mm-hmm. It's huge. Huge.
Yeah, no, it's a very good series. It's well worth the read.
Except for number 60.
Yeah, I would say the final storyline. The final storyline isn't my favorite, and the final issue, I think, is terrible. Up until then, it's really, really good.
Okay.
That's why I'm so concerned about Saga when it finally gets – if he ever gets to the end of it, it's going to –
Yeah, that's the same guy, isn't it? Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I remember now.
So it's Paper Girls, though, which is awesome.
Yeah. I think I ordered the first trade of that already.
That's good. You should order a subscription to Paper Girls. Maybe someone will deliver it to your house. That would be awesome if you could do that.
I'll call the 80s and see if I can get that.
Could you imagine having like a little 12-year-old bike up to your house, toss your comic at you, drive away, come back a month later for payment?
Yeah.
That would be sweet.
Where's my $5?
That's right. If Brian K. Vaughan really was committing to this Paper Girls idea, that's what he'd be doing.
Yep.
He would take all of his excess cash and hire a bunch of girls to ride around on bicycles throwing comic books at people's houses.
Oh, only at people that subscribe. You don't just throw them willy-nilly.
Oh, no willy-nilliness. Okay, well.
The trades are still in print, but the hardcovers aren't, at least not on Amazon anyway.
All right,
so I'll take this one. I suggested it. It was my push. Okay. I don't know why.
That's fine. I've always been curious about this book, so, I mean, it's good.
Oh, you're why curious?
Yes. I almost said this morning when you mentioned it, I said, why is he the last man? But I didn't, so.
Well, you're not going to find out in the first issue.
Oh, I didn't think so.
In fact, you don't even
really
find out.
Even going to find out ever. Spoilers.
Okay. Damn it.
Maybe you do.
So.
No, you kind of do. Maybe. If you're good with gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook.
Oh, it is. It.
Oh, no,
it
wait gobbled, a minute.
It gobbles the goop.
Isn't he the one that was on Lost?
He did, I think, the second season of Lost, and he did season of Under the Bubble or whatever that was called, Under the Dome.
Under the Dome. Okay, well, then I...
Was he part of that? Was he part of that mess? Okay.
He was the first season showrunner, I think.
Good Lord. Okay, well, I don't expect anything then.
I ran from that show, so...
I never did watch it.
All right, so we got Why the Last Man, number one, circa September 2002, Brian K. Vaughan on writing, P. Pia Guerra?
Let's go with Guerra.
Guerra.
Looks familiar. Guerra
doing
actually.
Pencils. Jose Marzan is doing the inks. As noted before, we got Heidi McDonald on editing.
That's a woman.
Anyhow.
The artist is a woman.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. She has a photographic memory, according to this.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
He's big on working with the females on his books.
She's the penciler on the current Black Canary.
Sometimes, yeah. She's done some.
Yep.
She's a.
Her stuff reminds me of what's his name who was working on Preacher, Steve. Not Ellis. Is it Steve Ellis? Yeah, I think so. Anyhow.
No idea.
So the cover has this guy in a straight jacket with a monkey on his back.
I didn't catch that, but yeah, you're right.
And a bunch of scientific-y looking chemical stuff, and I'm assuming that DNA strand that's hanging there is probably a male DNA strand. That would be my non-scientific guess. So, I was thinking to myself as we were talking. I love the logo design. Mm. I don't know, just it really appeals to me.
It is cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the issue opens up. A woman is covered in blood. So something's wrong. We're in Brooklyn, New York now. And she's running down the street covered in blood towards a female cop. And she's like, please, you have to help me. My little boys are sick. They're throwing up blood. I think and there's nothing I can do, says the cop. What are you talking about? You're supposed to help people. Well, it's too late. It's like this everywhere. My partner, my husband, all over the city, all over the world maybe. It's the men. All their men are dead. She puts a gun up against them.
Yeah, that's not very feminist thing there. She's, you know, going to opt out. All the men are dead. There's no reason to stay. Boom.
Well, you're going to find out as the series goes on that's actually the rub, is that he goes against type on the whole thing. You think all the women are going to be these nurturing types, and mm-hmm. they're just people.
Well, they're
just people.
They panic just like everybody else. So,
so it's Brooklyn, New York, 29 minutes ago, and we see our hero hanging upside down from a gravity bar in his straitjacket, and he seems to be talking to nobody. And he's like, did you know Elvis had a twin brother, he says. And it turns out he's talking to his young lady who's running through the desert. Yorick, that's the Y, by the way. His name is Yorick.
Ah, gotcha.
It costs 75 cents a minute to call the Outback. Do you really want to chat about Elvis? Money is not a concern, Beth. After all, I'm talking to my beloved Snuggle Pants, not some phone sex whore. Besides, sister, my sister gave me a phone card for Christmas. Anyway, did you know that Elvis had a twin brother? No, where did you read this? The Inquirer, says Beth. And during this whole conversation, he is escaping from his straitjacket. That's his shtick. He's an escape artist. It's true, an identical twin brother. His name was Jesse Garen Presley, stillborn a few minutes before Gladys gave birth to the king. They buried him in a shoebox. Hey, that's lovely. How insane is that? I mean, what if Jesse had lived and Elvis had died? Or what if they had both lived? You don't even like Elvis. Where the hell is this coming from? I don't know. Do you ever think about destiny, he asks? Why does fate choose one man over another? That sort of thing.
Boom,
you didn't get the job,
boom.
Did you? What's that?
I said boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
He's about to be chosen.
It's all, what do you call it? It's all
foreshadowing.
Setting up. Foreshadowing. Thank you. That's the word I couldn't think
of. That's anyhow. That's what I'm here for. I got your back, man.
Escapes. He's all, no, I didn't get the job. I'm sorry, baby, says Beth, but you'll find something else. You've got to give it a little time. Maybe, but I graduated more than a year ago, Beth. And the job market isn't exactly booming for English majors with moderate to poor computer skills. No shit, really?
Oh, well, you could be a manager at most of the places that I support now.
You could be a manager at Starbucks with that kind of background.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, they offer great college support. Anyhow, So they're chit-chatting and chatting and chatting, and they reach the end of the conversation, and he goes to hang up, and there's another call coming in, and he slips over to call waiting. Remember call waiting, folks?
Yeah.
And flips over, and he's like, "Did you get the job, sweetie?" "Oh, hey, Mom." He grabs the phone as he's still hanging upside down. And we're now in Washington, D.C., 24 minutes ago. And we see an older woman walking down the steps of the Capitol building or Congressional building with an aide carrying an umbrella for her because it's pouring rain on her. And she's listening. "I've got to go. I've actually got Beth on the other line. Can we talk about this later?" Turns out his mom is a pretty high-placed political official. "Of course, York. Please send Bethy my love. And don't forget to call your father on his birthday. He has that Marlowe class tonight, and he'll be home for his party at 8. Bye now." "Did you get the job, ma'am?" says his mom's aide. "Didn't sound like it." "Nope. Congresswoman Brown." So his name is York Brown, for those who are keeping score. "Senator, what a treat," she says. "And if I don't mind, I prefer Representative Brown, 21st century and all that." "Oh, yeah, because Congresswoman, okay, whatever." "Mm-hmm. My apologies. Didn't get the new gender-neutral handbook yet. May I borrow you for a moment?" says the other political guy. He says, Am I about to get spanked, Marty?" says Mrs. Brown, Representative Brown. Mm-hmm. "Depends," he says, "because I usually leave that to my husband." Innuendo. Mm-hmm. "Jennifer, I hope our party is going to have your support against the amendment to 1646. "Oh, really? And since when does a mighty senator care about what goes on in the lowly house? Don't be cute, Congresswoman. Now we have
you voted." Look, he called her Congresswoman instead of Representative. He's a jerk.
He's just spitting in her face.
Yep.
In the rain. "No, and you know full well that I don't believe the State Department should be providing foreign aid to organizations that perform abortions." "I see. So you don't think Mexican women should be allowed to plan the number of children they'll have?" "Oh, please, Marty. Abortion isn't a contraceptive. I just think the money would be better spent educating the world about advances like the morning after pill." "That's what I was afraid of. This is a fucking pro-life thing, isn't it?"
"Oh,
Jesus." "Hmm?
We got the explicit tag."
Yes.
That's all right.
Yes, this is a Vertigo book, so they
that's cool.
They're a little more lax when it comes to their verb, their words, and their visuals. And they go back and forth, and they hit on gun control and other hot topics that are still hot topics today, 14 years later, by the way.
I know, but 14 years later, I can understand what they're saying. GOP. Yeah. And Senator, and I've become far more politically aware, apparently, in the last 14 years.
Mm-hmm. You're also 14 years older.
No, so that's because stop that talk.
That's because the United States has become a scary, scary place.
Thank God for seeing it. yes. So, and, well, they reach absolutely no consensus here.
Of course not.
And he threatens her politically, and "I don't need to threaten you, Jen. You got lucky once, but you won't get elected again, not without my help." So he says, "Excuse me, sir," says his aide. "You're needed in the West Wing. My meeting isn't until 7. This is at the request of POTUS, sir. I was told to tell you that it concerns 355. We'll continue this discussion later, Representative." What's 355, ma'am?
They're important. Those numbers, they're important.
That's not a bill, is it? Who knows? But if he's meeting with the president, it's probably about baseball, says Representative Brown. And we're back to our hero, Mr. York Brown. "Sorry, that was Mommy Dearest, busy bringing shame to Ohio's 22nd district. Anyway, how's life down under?" And we're back to Beth in an idyllic setting in Australia.
Australia.
It really does look nice. And this, I know, it's art, I get it. Mm-hmm. Fucking incredible. "I wish I could stay out here another month. No offense, of course. Yesterday, the big-time anthropologist took out took us on a tour of Darawal people's ancient rock dwellings and showed, God damn it, ampersand, stop it. He's, the hell is an ampersand? You know, it's like the curly symbol for and, like in Turner and Hooch or Tango and Cash. I know what an ampersand is, asshead. Asshead? Yeah, I like the asshead.
Yeah.
Why are you talking to one? Because he's throwing his own shit at me. And we get the monkey, ampersand, a kachupin, capuchin, capuchin monkey, I don't know.
Capuchin, oh, good capuchin, Lord. Yeah.
Please don't tell me you bought a chimp. I didn't. He's a monkey. And I didn't buy him. I applied for him. Yes, get away from my wallet, you bastard. He's still yelling at the monkey. A group in Boston was looking for people to train the things. Go, so I volunteered. These fuckers are supposed to help quadriplegic.
That's right. You can do it.
Quadriplegics. There we go. Wow. That shouldn't have been that difficult. And then their daily chores and shit. Don't ask me how. Well, you've already taught your monkey to fasten the straps on the straitjacket, right? How did you? I mean, you were on speakerphone before, which you only do during the amazing Yorick routine, which you only do when you're nervous. I was pretty sure you were hiding something. I just didn't want. Anyhow, so they're back and forth and back and forth, and the monkey turned on the TV. And reporting from the West Bank, I'm Christopher Emmanuel. And we switched to Nablus, West Bank, 18 minutes ago now. And how was that, Tommy? There's a bunch of reporters out there. Who gives a rat's ass? My Slurpee is starting. Oh, my slurring is starting to wane? Is that what that says?
Yep. He's getting sober, basically.
Ah, it's starting to wane. Oh, where can a guy get a drink in this hellhole? Ouch. Somebody hit the cameraman with a rock, it looks like. And they're, what the fuck, man? That fucker just hit me with a fucking rock. We're the good guys, you've been grateful brats. We're here to tell your story, your side of the story. I'm pretty sure this isn't about us, guys. Something tells me they're aiming for her. And out steps a badass chick with a badass, what is that, Chris?
That is an M16, more than likely.
An M16, and she's blam, blam, blamming them with her M16. And, hey, yeah, you, Private Benjamin. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
They're just kids. What the hell are you doing? I was firing rubber bullets as warning shots well above the Palestinians' heads, and my name is Colonel Celon? T-S-E apostrophe E-L-O-N.
Yeah, I never knew how to say her name.
If you ever again refer to me as private anything, I will not afford you such courtesy. Oh, my bad, says the reporter. I'm Christopher, by the way. How would you like to be on TV? I'm supposed to do a piece about female combat soldiers while I'm out here. You know, see how the ladies feel about the IDF abolishing women's corps. Find out what it's like to fight alongside the boys as equal. And she cuts him off. You have to leave now. None of you are safe here, she says. And there's other women soldiers back there behind her. Darling, we work for one of the top 6 cable news organizations in America. We don't have to do anything. And I guess that's the producer, the guy who was not drunk anymore. But we will volunteer to be escorted out if you'll let me interview you. Along the way, I'll even promise that. And she cuts him off again. Whatever. Come. And she's talking. Well, we don't know what language she's talking. Probably she's Hebrew.
Israeli, so.
Is that a train?
Get that train out of here.
Yeah. Yes, there's a train going through Israel.
Okay, good deal.
Israel. They have trains in Israel. So, you have a first name, Colonel? Yes, but I do not know what it is.
Very interesting.
Keep your heads down. 2 of my siblings died at birth, so when my parents had me, they decided not to speak my name out loud. It's a stupid old tradition done to deceive the devil of death, confuse him so that he will not know where to find me. But what do your friends call you? Alter. It's a nickname. It means old one. It is a long story. Aren't mom and pop worried about the angel of death finding you out here? They need not be concerned. I have yet to be fired upon. You almost sound disappointed. Of course, joining an artillery battalion was always been my dream. But now that I'm finally permitted to be part of one, we encounter nothing but stone throwers. You guys ever watch NCIS?
I have off and on. I'm not exactly a fan of it. My mom and dad are.
Oh. They have a cool Israeli badass chick on there as well.
Yeah, they got the show I do watch, Blacklist, they've got one and two. She's something else.
They are badasses over there. So anyhow. Man, you are hardcore. Every other daughter of Israel I talk to out here is just happy that it's all quiet on the Western Front. Those girls could be paratroopers or naval commanders, but men have taught them to be content behind a typewriter. Anyhow, a little feminist yamma yamma out there. You know, like the chicks do. She pulls out a cigarette, does a Clint Eastwood, blowing the smoke out of her nose. Who wants peace when we have yet to begin to fight? And we're back to Beth climbing the rock in Australia. Yorick, you are a mental patient, she says. You couldn't keep sea monkeys alive, remember? Why in the world would you get a real one? I don't know. I guess I just wanted to do something productive with my abundant free time. You know, he's between jobs, so.
Right.
I mean, you and the rest of the globetrotting, my globetrotting friends, are all off saving the world and whatever. But I haven't done a...
Bless you.
Pardon me. Sorry. I haven't done a goddamn thing for anyone. So why don't you spend a summer with Habitat for Humanity or sign with the Peace Corps? Yeah, I know that sounds retarded, but since you left, I think I've become totally agoraphobic. I used to love to go out, but I'm growing uncomfortable in this dungeon these days. I can't even get past the front door. I'm the escape artist who couldn't escape his apartment. That's crazy, country mouse. This world is a gorgeous place. That what is there to be afraid of? And she's built.
She's beautiful.
Jeez.
You know, Pia draws beautiful people, period. Mm-hmm. Their faces are expressive. They look like real people. I love her artwork.
Yeah, and it grows throughout this series. You can see her getting her mojo even more straight as the issues go on. We are now in Al-Karak, Jordan, 13 minutes ago. Because remember, the first page was now. And then we moved back 29 minutes, so we're getting closer and closer to now. And there is a woman with a hand over her mouth with a guy behind her with a mask, and he's holding what looks like a gun, but it's a funky-looking gun.
Yeah, I don't know what that is supposed to be.
Yeah, so anyhow, it's Dr. Frozen Hamad. Who are you? How did you find me? There's no time for that, ma'am. Ma'am, you're American. Why would you want to kill me? I don't. And the assailant pulls off mask, and turns out it's a woman.
Yeah, it's Michonne.
It's Michonne, yeah.
In her early life.
Michonne before there was a Michonne.
Mm-hmm.
With shorter hair. I'm here to help you escape. What the hell are you talking about? This is my home. Tell the United Nations or whoever sent you that I have no need for their political asylum. Jordan is far from perfect, but we're not in Saudi Arabia. Doctor, says her assailant, we've been in hiding for months. How many more assassination attempts do you think you can survive? As many as it takes. I refuse to let a handful of Muslim extremists derail my efforts to end the honor killings of my sisters. This is not what this is about. Oh, no? 1/4 of the murders committed in my country are women killed by male relatives who simply accuse them of adultery or fornication. Or our penal code sanctions these crimes by granting legal lesser sentences, if any sentences, to the monsters. You don't understand, Frozen. Hey, Frozen yogurt, sorry. The men who've made attempts on your life aren't interested in your politics. They're interested in what's around your neck. And she has a cool-looking pendant around her neck, and there's people climbing down the side of her house towards the open window. I don't follow, she says, Frozen says.
Obviously.
They're after the amulet of Helene, Doctor. Amulet? It's a worthless necklace, a crude stone idol. And you'll part with it before someone gets hurt? Never. My father told me that a catastrophe comparable to the Trojan War would take place if yet we're ever removed from this land. And you believe that? Of course not, but I believe in tradition. This artifact has been in my family for generations. I have no intention of giving it over to anyone, certainly not an armed intruder. What is your interest in all this? Who are you working for? And her assailant says, I'll explain on the way to the airstrip. You're not safe here, Frozen, and if I was able to, if I was able to find you, so will, and blam, 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 and Frozen gets bazorched.
Yes, she does. Yep.
Some bullets. Yeah, there's only three blams, but there's four bullets, the magic bullet.
Well, it's a machine gun, so. They got AKs.
Sons of bitches.
Yep.
And her assailants, oh no! And two other assailants pop in, yelling something, who knows what, and her assailant pulls out one of those cool whippy stick things that they use on.
It's a baton. I have one of those myself. Actually, I got a couple.
And her weird looking gun.
Yeah, that's probably got a laser sight under the barrel. That's why it looks like that.
Okay.
Or a flashlight.
It's got a big trigger. There we go. Just on,
big bullets.
It almost looks like a taser gun, but obviously it's not because there's casings flying out of it as she's shooting. Mm-hmm. And they're not doing the blam, blam, blam when she's shooting.
Yeah, it might have some pressure on it.
And she clearly has shot one of the assailants, and she hits the other one with a baton. She goes, don't. Please, no one else has to die, she says to the other assailant coming in through the window. And he's all right, and he attacks her with a knife, and she shoots him through the chest. And the woman she's trying to rescue is dead. So, God damn it. Culpa rings, she says into a walkie-talkie. This is Agent 355. Remember that number? We heard that number earlier. Agent 355. Inform the president there's going to be a slight delay. And we're back to Yorick on the phone. This is, let's see. This really does read like a TV show, by the way. It's really cool the way it bounced the timing on it. We really had a good feel for that. So we're back to Yorick, and I'm not afraid of the world. I'm afraid of the world without you, he says to Beth. Oh, brother. I think you're hanging upside down a little too long, babe. I mean it, Beth. I feel like I really feel lost when we're apart. I know I've missed you too, York. I was just thinking about that time we were on the roof in the rain. It's not just that. I mean, of course, no kidding. You're my friend, Beth. You're brilliant. You're funny. And your favorite movie is Miller's Crossing. I didn't even know there were women like you. Miller's Crossing is an awesome movie, by the way. You make me better, smarter, braver. York, wait. Before you say anything, there's something I should tell you.
Look at that.
I'm really a girl. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but that scene, somehow I kind of ignored that last little panel there. And in about 50 or 55 issues, that panel will... It'll make... Anyway,
he creates a whole Bible for his series before he gets going. So
does he?
He really does.
Yeah. So he's got his storylines. From what I understand, he's got them laid out. He's got, I mean, the middle parts he fills in as he goes along. But here's a moment in issue one, and I don't remember what the payoff is here, like Murray does, but somewhere down the line, it does in fact have a payoff. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, he's totally got his characters. He knows the characters, so he knows what Beth is thinking. He knows where she's at. He knows where York's at, and he knows where they're at.
His monkey's getting jiggy with his teddy bear.
Yeah, I wonder if anybody else noticed that.
Young love.
Yeah. And we now flash to Boston, Massachusetts, 7 minutes ago, and there's a woman who's, I'm having a baby, as in right now. Everything's going to be all right, ma'am, says the, I'm assuming, nurse. Just relax. And doctor walks in. Dr. Mann, he says to the woman in the wheelchair who's having a baby right now, I'm Dr. Gilman, and I had you for biotech my last year at Harvard. She says, well, I hope you were pleased with the grade I gave you, Dr. Gilman, because I'm not due for another 6 weeks. So she's having a little premature birth here. No worries, doc, says the male doctor. Probably just Braxton Hicks contractions. I assure you, this is true labor. She says, well, we'll see. Who's your doctor? I don't have one. She says, what? You're in a third trimester and you haven't seen someone yet? Michael, please, a little doctor-patient confidentiality. Sunil, she says to the guy who wheeled her in. Sunil has been providing prenatal care and performing appropriate tests. Is he the father? No, he's my research assistant. I'm the father. What? That's so weird.
I'd forgotten she was pregnant at the beginning of the book.
Oh, God, I got to catch up. It's been – I haven't read this since I read it. So
Yeah. I'm due for a reread.
It's been 14 years, so mm-hmm. – and the male doctor's like, I don't understand. You're a – Jesus Christ, you're joking, right? He says, you're not seriously having your own clone. Yes, I am. But how? Why? Would it be possible for me to explain this to after you've delivered the baby? I can't. I mean, you're telling the truth. This probably isn't even legal. Then you can concern yourself with alerting the proper authorities, or you can help save a child's life. Fine. But we can't do this here, he says. And we change scenes again. Another part of Boston, and we're now in the in an ambulance, and it's 4 minutes ago. Oh, and they're... couple of people are getting jiggy, like the monkey and the bear, in an ambulance. And we hear a beeper going off. And he's like, is that me? Says the guy on the bottom. She's like, no, me. Sorry, honey. This is Hero. Who's calling, Pleat? And, hey, Mom, aren't you supposed to be overturning Roe versus Wade or something like that? Yeah, I know. It's Daddy's birthday. Listen, I'm kind of busy right now, says Hero. And by the way, that would be Hero Brown, for those who didn't make the connection. Yo, Joe, you in there? Showtime, Hero. Well, if the professor wanted kids who loved him, he shouldn't have given us such stupid names. Yes, I'm kidding. Goodbye, Mother. And she buttons up, and the two of them climb out of the rig. Put your pants on, bro. Didn't you hear the fucking alarm? We got to get away down by the harbor. Hey, Christ, it's been ages since we had anything but bomb threats around here. And everyone's jumping out of the rig, they're running around. What a whore bag. Has Zero effed every firefighter from last year's calendar now? Probably, but she swears that this guy's the one. I hope he gives her herpes. So a couple of catty comments from some of her women folk friends over there. Mm-hmm. Be careful. Those fumes, pretty boy, she says to the guy she was in the rig with. You keep that bus warm for me. I'll be back in a flash. A poor choice of words. Don't come back. Just come back safe, okay, Joe? And back to York on the phone. Don't, please. I know you hate it when I get all serious, but just let me say this one thing. It's important. I lied to you, Beth. You did? About what? Says Beth. I didn't give half my cash to a corrupt cop in the park. I spent it. Oh. On what? Nothing extravagant. Just a little trinket I found in that magic store I go to. But it's what I've been so nervous about. Listen, I know this is unbelievably tacky to do over the phone, but I keep having nightmares about you being eaten by dingoes before I can ask you. So here it goes. The dingo ate my bathy. I'm sorry.
I know.
So here goes everything, says York, and he opens up a box. And he's got his hand in the box. That's important, people. He's holding this ring. And it's Brooklyn, New York, 5 seconds ago. Beth DeVille, will you marry me? Washington, D.C., 4 seconds ago. Representative Brown, your husband just called. He's going to be late for his party tonight. Man, can't live with him. Nebulous West Bank, 3 seconds ago. Says the reporter, what time is your patrol in? Quiet. Did you hear that? It sounded like shelling. And 20,000 feet above Jordan, 2 seconds ago. And 355 is looking at the amulet in her hand, and pilot is next to her. Three bodies for one recovered artifact, huh? 355. You're turning into a Culper Rings Lara Croft. He's about to say Lara Croft. Just shut up and get out of here. Get us out of here. 1033. Take it easy. You're about to hit Saudi airspace. Boston, Massachusetts, 1 second ago. This isn't right, says the cop. He's giving birth, and all of a sudden it's now, and all of the men start hit, click, and all the women are just standing around going, what the hell? In fact, they're all spitting out blood, and blood is coming out of their eye sockets. And Hero's getting covered with blood by her cop friend Joe, and 355's pilot is puked all over the window, and the men are dropping like flies. What the hell is happening? And even the male animals.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Here's an interesting shot at the Tokyo Stock Exchange. Everybody's down, implying there were zero women in there.
Oh, yeah. They don't let women do anything, just about.
You're in the Vatican, and there's a nun holding a priest, because, you know. And Daddy, and then we're in King Hill, Idaho. Cows are down. Daddy, I think Buck is sick, and there's a dead pig in her. It's like Charlotte's Web. I don't remember the girl's name in Charlotte's Web, but
Fern.
Then we're in Fern, yeah. Fern with So, and then we're in the Netherlands, and all the men, John, are dropping dead as the hookers are standing around going, what? And Sao Paulo, the referee is down at a women's soccer match or football match. And half the crowd is dead in these stands. Johnson Space Center in Texas, only one person is still left alive. In Houston, do you read? And that's also important. That is a callback. Oh, what about issue 30 or so? We're in Leningrad, and the nuclear power plant in Russia is going beep, 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 which ain't good. Mombasa, Kenya, there's a dead giraffe on the ground, and a train has crashed. And back to 355 up in the plane. The amulet is now floating around. Mayday, mayday, where is everyone? Just hold on, son, says Representative Brown, and she's trying to give her aid help. And Hero is still covered in her lover's blood, and they're trying to help their friends there. Oh God, this is my fault, says Doctor. What was her name? The doctor who with the clone?
Dr. Man. Get it, man.
I do. That's subtle, huh? She thinks it's her fault, and then we're back to the West Bank. And Alter, we have to use atropine. Stand down, soldier, she says. This can't be nerve gas. This is just the men. And then we're back to that cop who had her gun up to her head. All of the men are dead. And she bangs her head, and York's all, hello, hello. And we are unmanned, which is by Brian K. Vaughan, Pia Carrera, Jose Marzan, Clem Robbins, Pam Rambo, J.G. Jones. I forgot he did all the covers.
Uh-huh.
Awesome. Zachary Rao, assistant, and Heidi McDonald, as you noted earlier, was the editor. And we get a little text page about what's going on and a really creepy drawing of Yorick and Ampersand standing in the middle of a pile of dead men. Yes. Anyhow, that is why The Last Man, the entrance. And it is very much a great TV show moment. That would make a great TV show.
Yeah, I think it would.
Yeah, I could see that. That would be good.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
So, well,
that was interesting.
There are 59 more issues. 58 of them are good. I know we keep
hearing. Really?
Well, hey, huh?
Really cool. Some of the storylines are just great. Like, it really. Great cliffhangers, and it goes in some neat directions and places, and the characters are just great.
Yeah, it's only 60 issues, so it's about five. It actually went on a little longer than 5 years because of late issues and stuff, but you know, it's approximately 5 years worth of comics, and It covers more than 5 years though, especially at the end. The end jumps way ahead. The last issue is way in the future.
Yeah, I looked at the second issue. There's 2 months in between.
Yeah. So, but it's not real time. But we see pretty much all the characters that are in this first issue are the main focal characters for the course of the book. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of check in on all of them as the series goes along. And all their lives eventually intersect and interconnect.
Yeah, that's kind of like how one of my favorite writers, William Gibson, does. He does the same thing. They're all... No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and for most of the course of the series, there's only two male characters in the whole... So that's
he writes
people. I mean, yes, they're for the most part they're women, but they're people doing their thing, trying to survive, and they deal with the fact that how do you procreate when there's only women? And poor Yorick is put in some very awkward positions because of that.
I bet.
More than once.
Very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah, it is. It is very interesting. And get to see how the world survives. Sort of like that. There was a movie, I can't remember what it was. Something, A Day Without Mexicans, I think is what it was called. Sort of the same concept, what would America do if all the Mexicans just stopped, went away?
That would be Donald Trump's dream.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Well, who would clean his house?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, the Polish people. That's where I read something about that. Yeah, get a bunch of Polish people cleaning his house or something. All right. Anything else?
No. Read it. Honestly,
read it.
And I need to reread it. I forgot how intriguing it was.
I just like to find out why. I mean, why did it happen?
Well, eventually you get there.
Okay, that's cool. All right. Let's see. As always, you can. I should have slept more. I've been up since like 4, and it's hitting me like a hammer right now. I've been having trouble sleeping lately. It's a pain. Okay.
Hammer time.
Yeah. I miss that. That is so funny. Anyway, as always, you can send an email at podcast@talesofthelongbox.com, and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on our Facebook page and join the conversation, the slowly growing group of people. And let's see what else. Comment on the actual episodes. I know nobody does that, but hey, you can do it if you want.
Bastards.
Really can. And that's about it for this week. We are out.
I'm out.